Over the Christmas season, I shared with you a series of messages that I called Moments That Matter. And this morning, kind of as we come to the end of the year, I just want to kind of bring that, I guess, in for a landing, so to speak. We've talked about the importance of making and embracing moments that matter with family, and I hope you did that. I hope you took opportunity to realize that moments don't just happen. You have to embrace them. I hope you did that. But more importantly, I challenged you during this Christmas season to make moments with Jesus. Because again, we all have schedules. We're all busy. These moments don't usually just happen if we don't make the time or take the time to do that. Even the original Christmas story, the narrative of Jesus' birth, reminds us that society can be busy. People were busy. People were going to a census. The government had ordered a registration and so on. And everybody was busy and missed the moment of what was happening. We talked about the wise men who sought Jesus, and yet some of the priests who knew the story weren't as intense upon that moment. And so these moments don't matter, or these moments that matter don't always happen because of our schedules or because of familiarity and so on. And I challenge you to take those moments. We talked about, as we read through some of the Christmas narratives, we talked about finding moments of peace. Jesus came in a world that's very similar to ours, a world of political instability, a world of economic unrest, a world that's generally kind of a little bit fearful. And that was the world into which Jesus was born. And the very first message that was given to the world at that time when Jesus was born was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, happiness, peace. It wasn't on earth happiness. It wasn't even on earth joy or hope or love, although Jesus brought all those things. But the message that came to a people in the midst of fear was, now that Jesus has come on earth, there can be peace. And I encourage you to hear Jesus' words himself when he said, my peace I give you. We talked about moments of incarnation. Again, a big word, a theological word that simply means God with us. God in human flesh. And I encourage you to remember that this season, of all that we're doing, that this season brings us a fresh reminder of the moment that God became our neighbor, of God coming close to us, not a God who remained aloof and hoped that we would come to him, but a God who wanted to come to us. And I encourage you to celebrate those moments of incarnation, and to be reminded that we need to make moments in which we are incarnational to others. Last Sunday, we talked about moments of the miraculous. And I think of all the messages of Christmas this year, this is the one that really gripped me. That not to be lost in the Christmas story is that it is a miracle. The greatest miracle that mankind has ever known, that a virgin became pregnant with a child who became the Son of God. And I challenge you again to take moments that remind you that if the Holy Spirit could do that, then there's nothing that he can't do for you and for me. If the Holy Spirit could overshadow a young lady who had not had any sexual relations and cause her to become expectant with the Son of God, then that puts my need into a proper perspective. But as I was kind of sitting earlier this week and kind of, as I said, kind of trying to bring this in for a landing, I kind of sat back and I tried to visualize what may have been the greatest moment. What was the actual moment like? The moment when people actually saw Jesus. That moment when the greatest moment in history actually happened. And for the people who were involved in the original Christmas, as we term it now, that must have been quite the moment. The moment when the ancient prophecies were fulfilled. We talked about Isaiah, who said that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. And now that moment in the midst of turmoil, the Prince of Peace had come. Isaiah also said, the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. And now that light has come into the world. But I tried to think of what it would be like for those present that night or in that season. The moment for Mary. That moment. And those of you here this morning who are mothers, you can certainly recall the moment that you held your baby for the first time. And for Mary, it was, I'm assuming it was like that. The joy of this child, of holding her son. And like all mothers or parents or even grandparents, that moment when they see that child and all that comes with that. But then you add to that for Mary the uniqueness around this child. The uniqueness of his conception. The uniqueness of why he was coming into the earth. The uniqueness of who he actually was. And then all of that time, now in that moment, she held the baby that, as the song says, would hold the world. What would have been like in that moment for Joseph? A man who was asked to make a very difficult and sacrificial decision. When he was told what was happening and was asked not to divorce Mary or not to leave her, but to be obedient to God's plan for her life and for his life and for the world. And the man who made that decision that he would listen to the voice of God, despite the rumor mill and despite the questions and so on, and now in that moment, he was able to hold his son. What about that moment for the shepherds? It tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, that the shepherds came to the manger that night and they saw the child. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. It also tells us that when they saw the child, they spread the word about him. A moment when you encounter Jesus, like those shepherds, changes everything about your life. It changes your life and it changes you. It changes your priorities. And all of a sudden, these shepherds had a greater cause. They had seen the child who was coming into the world, who was God with us. And their whole focus turned from what they were doing to glorifying and praising God for what they had seen and telling other people about him. The moments that matter are the moments we meet Jesus. And when we meet him, it changes us. It changes our direction. It changes our focus from the mundane things of life to God's presence. And it changes our priorities. Go and tell other people that you have met Jesus. Then I think about the moment for the wise men. Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 2, describes the moment that the wise men saw him. Later, we picture them typically around the manger and so on. And in reality, they would have, Scripture tells us, they came to a house sometime later and met Jesus. But the timing is not the most important fact here. They came as well. And it tells us that when they saw the child, now you've got the picture. These weren't Sunday school children who always heard about Jesus. These weren't even Jewish followers. These were magi. These were wise men who followed the stars and astrology, and their mindset was totally different. And then they see this star in the east, and they get questioning, what's this star about? And they're told about the ancient prophecy, so naturally, they're inquisitive minds. That's the way they were built. We want to see this for ourselves. And so they travel and come to the house where Mary and Joseph and the baby were. And it says, and in that moment, they bowed down and worshiped and gave gifts. These weren't followers of God. But the moment they saw Jesus, something changed. They bowed before him and they worshiped him. You see, when you have a moment with Jesus, a genuine moment with Jesus, that's what happens. You can't help but worship. You can't help but fall before him. You can't help but give what you have to him. When you see Jesus, you give everything for him. We've read the scriptures from John's Gospel, chapter 1, where John kind of speaks of the corporate moment that we experience Jesus. John talks about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, and it says, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. When we see Jesus, something happens to us. And so I can only imagine what that moment was like. But then I thought, what was that moment like for God the Father? Imagine what it must have been like for God. Now, I'm assuming that over the last few days, some of you have given gifts. Hopefully you've received a few as well. Maybe some of you have worked on a gift that you were trying to keep secret, or it was a special gift or whatever, and you were just anticipating the moment when that person received their gift. One of our kids sent us, I knew about it because I had to know about it in order to make arrangements, and it was a surprise to Grandma that she's going to be able to go home and see our youngest grandchild in a few days, and so they wanted to be a part of this because they had planned it, and we had worked together on it, and so I had to have the phone on just to see the reaction of the recipient, which was everything that was anticipated. Excitement and tears and everything in between. But I can only imagine that moment for God, who gave the greatest gift that was ever given. It wasn't something picked up at the last minute at Shoppers. It was a gift that was being planned, the Bible tells us, before in the beginning. That God had a plan that he would give a gift to the world that would save us from our sin. God knew that we would sin. But God also, in knowing that we would sin, still loved us enough that he provided an answer to our sin. And God, in this moment, after years and centuries and years of silence and darkness and people wondering, where is God and why doesn't he care anymore? He sent his gift to mankind. And I can only imagine that moment. That moment when God saw the world receive the gift that he had sent. You see, the moments that matter to us are the moments we see Jesus. I think the moments that matter the most to God are the moments we see Jesus. The moments when people accept his gift and he gets to see the reaction, not of just necessarily excitement and disbelief or tears of joy, but when God gets to see the moment that we accept his son and our lives are changed, the course of our future is altered, our priorities become different, our whole life changes. And I can only imagine that the moments that matter to God the most are those. The moments when I embrace his son, his gift of eternal life. You see, seeing Jesus is the most important moment in your life. Seeing him as a gift, seeing him as a sacrifice, seeing that he came to give his life for us. We're going to take some time in a few moments to have communion together. As we end 2025, we want to take a moment around the Lord's table to acknowledge His great gift to us that came in the form of a baby, as we call it, the first Christmas. We're going to sing a simple chorus. It's an older chorus. It simply says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." And again, as I've been challenging you to make moments that matter, we can't do them in a few minutes here corporately in a building, but we can take a few minutes corporately here in a building when we just take a few moments to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Just as Mary in that moment embraced her child, in that moment as Joseph realized that his son was going to be the Savior of the world, in that moment for the shepherds when the angel who had nearly frightened them to death in the field, when they came and saw what was happening, in that moment when the Magi who studied all kinds of astrology and science had to find out, in the moment that we accept and embrace Jesus, it changes everything. And in these next moments, I want you to do exactly what this song says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. See the gift that God gave you. And acknowledge how desperately you want and need that gift. Let's sing together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all the worship we can bring. Lord, we can bring our praise. We can bring our words of thanksgiving. But Lord, I just pray as we close out a year in which you've been so faithful to us and embark upon an unknown chapter, Lord, I pray that we'd not only give you our words and our lips of praise, but that we'd offer our lives in response to what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for this season that we've had to come afresh to the manger, to the humility, Lord, to the love that you show, to the sacrifice, Lord, to the simplicity of you giving your life, coming to our world and giving your life for us. So, Lord, I pray that we not just put the story of you coming to our world away with the decorations, but that we would live in that reality that God walks among us. God is with us. And through your Holy Spirit, God is in us. So, Lord, as we embark upon a new year, we do it knowing that you, your power that came and created life, that power that sent Jesus to our world, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us as we embark upon an unknown season. So, Lord, we thank you for this past year. So, let's thank you for the mountaintops, and Lord, thank you that even in the valleys, you proved yourself faithful to us. So, Lord, as we all take moments in the next few days to reflect back, Lord, I pray that it would draw us to you every time. And as we take moments to look ahead, Lord, may it renew our faith and our confidence. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning we've had together and pray now your blessing upon this congregation, upon those who are here this morning who need you to work in a miraculous way. I pray that you would do so. Lord, remind us as we conclude this morning, our sins are forgiven. We walk in new life and freedom. Our sins are forgiven, and our future is heaven. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Together, we all said, amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. Many blessings to you and your family.